Is there a political resolution in the works to the war in Afghanistan? Today's New York Times puts some flesh on the bones of a story that's been leaking out in recent weeks, but without much detail. The Times reports that senior Taliban commanders are leaving their sanctuaries in Pakistan to meet with top advisors to Afghan President Karzai, and NATO forces are actually arranging the safe passage to take part in the talks. We're going to hear now from an advocate of negotiations with the Taliban. Richard Barrett is the coordinator of the United Nations Al-Qaeda Taliban monitoring team. He's a veteran of the British Security Service, Foreign Office, and Secret Intelligence Service, and joins us from New York. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And first, why are the Afghan Taliban any more disposed to negotiating a settlement with the Karzai government now than, say, a couple of years ago?
Well, I think time's running out for them in a peculiar sort of way. The Afghan Taliban, of course, have been very strong over the last 5 years. They had a sort of resurgence. But since the drone campaign started and since the intelligence picture enjoyed by the coalition forces against them has improved, they've lost a lot of leaders. And I think the key leaders, who are we call the Quetta Shura, are much more pinned down and find it very hard to move into Afghanistan to assert their authority and assert their control of the movement. And I think they probably calculate that unless they strike a deal relatively soon, then they're going to be sort of irrelevant to the resolution of the problem.
The idea would be here for the Taliban to negotiate a role in Afghanistan, but not al-Qaeda. Are the Taliban capable of abandoning Osama bin Laden, Ayman al-Zawahiri, and others who enjoyed sanctuary when they ran Afghanistan until 2001?
Well, it's a pretty good question, and it's, of course, a crucial question, because if they can't guarantee to keep al-Qaeda out, then no one wants to make a deal with them. What they have said is that if they were back in power, or as they put it, when they're back in power, they would ensure that neither they nor anyone from their territory interfered with the internal security of another country. So they're saying in sort of pretty obvious code that they wouldn't allow al-Qaeda to mount attacks like it did, for example, in 9/11 here or in 1998 in East Africa.
You're confident that that's a correct reading of what the Taliban leaders are saying when they say that?
Well, I'm pretty confident that's the message they want to give over. Whether that's a uniform position within the Taliban, of course, is another matter. And then, of course, they may say that, but can they enforce it? Certainly, al-Qaeda will be doing whatever it can to ensure that many members of the Taliban oppose that policy.
The Times reports that Mullah Omar, the leader of the Taliban when they were in power, is not a part of these talks. Do you assume that, say, if Omar were left out of a deal, that he would cease to be consequential, or that there would likely be some rump Taliban force that would carry on the insurgency after a deal that engaged, say, a majority of the Taliban?
Well, everybody still refers to Mullah Omar as the commander of the faithful, the ultimate authority within the Taliban movement. And, of course, al-Qaeda also referred to him as that. So, theoretically, if Mullah Omar said, if you come here, you're not to do anything, they would have to obey. But I don't think, of course, that would happen. And I think Mullah Omar's authority will be challenged in the future and may be challenged already. Even now, he's a very remote figure. He doesn't attend the big Quetta Shura meetings. Occasionally, he may send a tape or some sort of instruction like that. But very few people have access to him. Very few people know where he is.
Will the Pakistanis permit the Taliban to negotiate independently of them when they've expressed such anxiety in the past about being cut out of an Afghan settlement that they tend to see as something that would leave India in a favored position?
That, of course, India, of course, is their obsession, and they've been always very concerned about encirclement, having a pro-Indian government in Kabul. And that, of course, is one of the reasons perhaps why they've been supporting Taliban. They have a common interest there. But Pakistan now also faces big problems. And if Pakistan is to play a regional role in the future of Afghanistan, the main thing that it has to bring to the table is, in fact, an agreement with the Taliban. Without that, what can Pakistanis bring? Not very much. And I think also you have to remember that Pakistan now is facing a real internal problem on top of all the floods and difficulties there. They are facing a Taliban movement which isn't necessarily so closely associated with the Afghan Taliban leadership, but nonetheless is providing a huge amount of upset in the tribal areas and, of course, is allied with some of the Punjabi groups, which are also causing big problems for the Pakistan government.
Well, Richard Barrett, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Mr. Barrett is the coordinator of the United Nations Al-Qaeda Taliban monitoring team.